This conference is being recorded. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And when you hear that sound, you know what it means. You are in the room.
I'm excited about all of you. I'm excited about your presence. I'm excited about the energy.
that you bring into this room. Tonight we have a very special guest, King James production. I called him the Ankh Earth, the anchor of humanity. When you get a chance to hear this brother shortly, you will understand why he is the Ankh Earth, the anchor of humanity, anchoring in the love that is needed for us. And with a difficult subject that we're going to attempt to tackle tonight. And along with him, we have tremendous brother. Words cannot even begin to talk about these two brothers. King James has a broadcast and has had the likes of some of my teachers and mentors on his show. Kaba Hiawatha, Kumene, and Dr. Phil Valentine, Asar Hapi, Dr. Devil's Lair, and many, many others that have taught me these years. And Dr. Rogers has written and authored around 50 books, Knowledge Base. That is just tremendous. There's no way he could have gotten the knowledge that he has without the experience, without going through some experiences. So I'm excited about these two brothers tonight. Aladia, what would you like to say as we lead in? We've had discussions today. I had discussions with you and also with Abednego this morning early. We usually touch bases early in the morning, and he presented me with a peculiar situation this morning, and we had discussions all through the day. So how would you like to begin the discussion that we talked about today?
Well, you know, we had an in-depth conversation about, you know, three issues here that is holding, as I see it, all of humanity back. And it's a topic that no one really wants to speak on because, well, we've quite frankly been conditioned not to talk about it. We know it's there, but we don't want to speak on it. And I say I am in agreement with you that these three hurdles, we have to, in order to overcome them, we have to begin a conversation about it so that there's healing, so that we can move into this utopian society that's been promised from days of ancient to be here upon us now. So that would be what I think that would be most important, that we just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and let's begin that dialogue so we can have that global healing for all people. And I think across the aisle, there's those who don't even realize that they have white privilege. It's never even crossed their mind to think that they do. And this is not going to be tonight about any racial bashing or baiting or anything of that nature. This is something that has to be said so that there can be an opening for communication to talk and the wounds of many years can be start to begin to be healed. Then we can move forward in this beautiful promised society that is ours to have, if we're going to claim it, if we have the courage to go to these dark places and shine light on them.
Well, you know, talking about it in compassion and incompetence is a very difficult task to do. But if we are going to make it to where we are trying to get to, that what has been promised, as you know, have said, and that is that society of peace and love and harmony, we must have this discussion. So we don't want you to run from the conversation. We want you to stay with the conversation because I think that it is going to move into, and especially with the guest that we have tonight, King James, and we're going to let him start off first, and then we'll come back, and if there's any room or time, we will begin to have some dialogue around some of the things that he talks about, because just listening to the brother's voice and the cadence and rhythm of his voice, you'll understand why it resonates with the radiant brilliance of universal anchor to anchor us into this society that we're all hoping for.
in this universal love, but we can't get there as long as we're holding on to the dark fringes of some undiscussable areas. We got to bring these areas. We have to bring these things to light. And it is not racist. It's not racist. It's not bigotry. It's not prejudice. But we must have this discussion in order to bring ourselves and this planet, our solar system, our galaxy, and our universe to this place. They don't want us to have this discussion. People run from it. They don't want to talk about it. And there are reasons why they don't want to talk about it. And we can get into those a little bit later. But I just wanted to preface and give this conversation that backdrop before we begin to have it so that you won't become offended by the conversation. Now, there are, and there has been for the last few centuries and millennia, a certain group of people on the planet that have been targeted beyond measure, beyond other people, for the last 6,000 years. And we have to spend time around why this has happened, what is the reason for this, and there are a lot of things, a lot of parts to this that have to be considered, and we're going to try to take it step by step. But King James, are you there?
Peace, my brother. Yes, I am.
Man, it's so good to hear you on this show tonight, speaking to the world. And I didn't want to give any kind of a backdrop to who you are and what you do. I wanted to reserve that because I didn't want to take a chance of messing it up or saying some things that I'd have to take back. But just talking to you this week has been a tremendous blessing beyond my ability to really say. And I'm a little bit out of sorts today. I was rushing, hurrying, trying to take care of several things here and tend to my wife and some other things. So I got a little out of sorts. But just to hear your voice this week and communicate with you last week impressed upon me the necessity of unity consciousness and the absolute indispensable necessity of absolute complete love. And I said, man, this brother is really, and with the people that he's interviewed and knowledge that he shares, we need to bring him to this broadcast and allow him without parameters. I didn't give any subjects or tell you what the discussion was going to be about because of how deeply you impacted me just in conversation. And I said, there's no way to structure this. So without any further ado, would you just begin to introduce yourself to us and as the spirit, as we would say in church, or as the cosmic mind downloads into you, begin to share with this audience tonight?
Wow. Let me just say first and foremost, I really am honored to be a part of this broadcast, to be a part of the Royal Priesthood, to have inspired a spiritual light of any sorts within you, my brother, to have you to share those type of expressions and feelings and compassion for what you've gotten out of me or what you have felt a need to express that you've shared with me. I'm deeply humbled and very much honored to be asked to be a part of this and to be on your show. King James, wow. KYNGJAYMES, first and foremost. I don't want anyone to think that I'm going to start sprouting Bible verses or I'm going to come straight from. No, that's that spelling is unique, as we all are unique unto ourselves as our fingerprints. I grew up very briefly. I grew up in Chicago, born in St. Louis, from a young mother who was a child with a child. So she didn't have a whole lot of time for me. Now, that may sound bad or sound like horrible for a lot of people to think that a 4, 5, 6-year-old child is alone in the big city, but Spirit held me down. And so a lot of the guests that you spoke of that have been on my show, as well as yourself is coming on as well, they've expressed and communicated those tenets that I've lived and I've lived through, and I just didn't have the definitions. I just didn't have a way to define what was happening in my life growing up, coming along, being a child of a child who was learning life, and I was learning life at the same time. So long story short, my imaginary friends were very real to me because it was Spirit always there, my spirit of my grandmother who passed 11 days before I was born, 11 being a number of what, more of a portal kind of thing. So there was a lot of energy in her passing and me coming onto the scene, so to speak, in a household that was needing some love, needing some energy, needing upliftment, because their matriarch, their mother, their backbone was leaving, and it was incumbent upon the eldest of the siblings, my eldest aunt, who on my grandmother's deathbed said she would make sure that her sisters and brothers, 5, 6 of them rather, that would not be in the homeless shelter, separated. So this woman dedicated her life to her brothers and sisters, raising them, keeping her word to her mother. And I had an opportunity to be a part of coming up in that family, not being the first nephew, but technically I was the baby son, the baby brother, but I was the nephew, but the first nephew, the first cousin, the first, you know. So, but the long and short of it was a lot of the ancestral love, a lot of the energies of people who loved poured it on me. And when I came in, I lit up the whole place because I was a newborn after the death, so to speak. And so I was the resurrection, I guess you could say. Well, my life was not, it was what they might say hard, but it was not as hard when I look back because I was always kept, protected. And I started to develop an understanding around that protection, an understanding around what was keeping me, and an understanding around what this force source was. I would be in places and things would happen. It would happen around me. It wouldn't happen to me. So I became to be a part of being in this world, in the streets, but not of them. I was exposed to a whole lot of different things you would not believe, but yet they didn't spoil or tarnish my soul. And so when I met people like yourself and all the others, you guys just spoke to the life that I've lived. And the older I became, the more I recognized and acknowledged this presence. Well, that presence only helped me to twist and turn. In other words, I became the antithesis of what the world was showing, you know, criticism, condemnation, and conflict and those types of things. So I started to resonate the opposite, in opposition to those things, with the fiery energy, with compassion, and learning to stand on my own, learning to be representative, learning not to cower away, learning to be more upfront and stand for, you know, not be afraid of. So I could go on and on, but that's just the long and short of it. So here now today, I'm here before you all to express the understanding that we are at the place that we've always wanted to be. Our souls have always prepared us, has prepared us. Our lifetimes of existence has prepared us for these times. And all we have to do, all we are doing, is becoming more balanced in it, which brings in and attracts and resonates our truest power. See, polarizing world only can realize a portion or pieces of it. But when you're balanced, you can harness all of it. And so the love has to be balanced within the heart. And so the heart has to open up, and we can't open up a cold heart if you're using ego, if you're criticizing, condemning, or you're finding fault in everything and everybody and every something wrong with every, and oh, the world is this and other. No, well, we have to start with me. I have to start with me. You have to. We have to start with the one. And when we start with the one, the healing starts with the one, and then that energy radiates out. So if we want to do something for the world, we must first internalize that healing in the one world that is creation, that is you. And so that's where I'm at. That's and if it's anything that you feel, my brother, it's over time building in me with this understanding and this resonance of reality and truth that is connected to the cosmos, just like we all are connected. Everything, there's nothing that's not connected, right? So our job is to understand what it takes to balance in that connection, to be equalized, equilibrium, not finding issues with what we see, but concerning ourselves with the focus within ourselves with what we know. See, there are some things that we know, and we're not, a lot of people aren't owning up to what they know because they're so concerned and afraid of what someone else might say or what the world is thinking or what this, you know, and it's like, I got to get me together. So that's why the name of my show is Get Your It Together. I'll yield. I don't want to go too far, too much to say too, go too long, but, balance. We've had the antithesis. Now we have to realize the presence, and that presence is the healing force. And it's the only way this thing is going to work. Guns and the wars and all that stuff is never going to do it. The people have to individualize the presence, balance themselves within that presence. And then that does the work. I don't have to do anything. I just show up, do what I do because who I am, and I let that be known based on how I walk, what I say, and then it does the rest. So that's what I have to say so far.
Wow. Man, I mean, listen, that is so powerful. You said so much in such a short span of time. Would to God I could manage to, in humility, and this is not false humility, but to manage to say so much in such a short span of time. From what you gave, your background and the hurdles that you had to succumb in order to get to this position, to understand that, to individualize, or as one of my teachers or one of my colleagues said, I should say, at one time, that the city is built one brick at a time.
Yeah,
we have to go internally and to do the individual work, one person at a time, to get past what we see collectively as a group, which seems to be, you know, a tremendous wall to get by. You know, when you think about in America, you know, we could go worldwide, but let's just focus on America. When you think about what's happening to people and a certain group of people that seem to have been targeted, and you try to give context to that in terms of what is the purpose of this individualized oppression directed toward a single people in the Sandra Bullocks or Eric Garners or Tamir Rice or Walter Scott of South Carolina, Freddie Gray, Michael Brown, Oscar Grant, Trayvon Martin. And what do you say to a people who can see that their government has targeted them for so much oppression? I mean, I could get lost in a lot of words in trying to say all of this oppression, but you seem to have capsulized in a unique extraction of living tissue from your own experience. And in a concentric circle, you seem to have managed to place that worldview or global perspective into place by properly assessing your individual journey. And you come away from that with an attitude that says, okay, I'm gonna determine to operate in the radiance and opulence of love. Man, wow. King James, that is phenomenal in and of itself. Because there are some things that, in my mind, as a theologian and as a biblicist, I should say, and as a professional clergy, dealing with the most hurt people on the planet. I mean, dealing with people that have come out of shadow slavery and all of the conditionings and have been in a position to try to assist these people and to teach these people. And I don't want to sound the wrong, you know, say the wrong thing here, but it's not an easy task to try to, when you've been assigned to try to help other people to get to where you are, where you are.
And yeah, it's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not. It's really not easy. And Dr. Rogers, are you there? Is Dr. Rogers there? Can he hear me? Oh. Is he on mute?
Well, I don't think he came in. I see him. He didn't come in on the host code. So let me...
He didn't come in on the host code.
I'm here.
So. He said he's there.
I opened his mic.
Oh, okay. Great. Doc, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother. I was just listening to the conversation, and that is a big topic or something that definitely needs to be addressed. So, it's just a privilege and an honor just to be here with you guys, with these great minds tonight.
Wow. So, Doc, you know, you heard what King James has said about his personal experience and how he was able to translate that into an attitude and a disposition in his being, and with a determination, which is where we have to be, and we have to get to that position. And wow, man, I'm lost for words in trying to explain. I really want to give a lot of time to the brother, and I don't really know what questions to ask him. But what are your thoughts on where we are now and where we all know we need to be, but yet there are some things that there are some other agendas at work that we cannot, in my opinion, we can't turn our way, we can't turn our head and say that they don't exist. We've got to look at them and say, okay, what is the meaning of this? And what does it mean? How do we translate this experience into a global type of attitude that King James just mentioned a moment ago? What is the lever? What is the switch that we flip to flip this collective pain and this seemingly peculiar type of oppression and turn it? He used the word antithesis, and I like that word because thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Where do we find the synthesis of the thesis and antithesis, and where do we find this synthesis of this collective oppression and pain?
And brother, that is a great, great question and a great point, because one of the most important things that we have to really, really look at is when we talk about these issues, you know, the biggest thing is black ignorance is one of the most important things that kind of promotes or allows the system, this harmonious arrangement. The scripture talks about the cosmogrator in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and it tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against, you know, the principalities and the wickedness in high places, and that is a system. That system that we are wrestling against is this white privilege or this basically dominant culture. And as a people, man, I really enjoy, you know, talking to or listening to some of like Neely Fuller and Umar Johnson and, you know, the late Francis Welsing, and how they helped me to understand growing up as a young man in South Texas, Deep South, where I was always called boy, and we was taught and raised not to look people in the eye or look the look Caucasian brothers and sisters in the eye. That led me into my studying, and that got me into Wake Up Black America, and I looked at the definition of the word black, and it really, really blew me away, and that got me into studying chemistry, and it got me into really understanding the root cause of my inferiority, which helped to promote and to allow this black superiority, or the white superiority or white privilege to basically continue. And when I started understanding that I needed to replace my pattern with my divine purpose, that would give me power. And this pattern that I had was this ideal of thinking that I was less than. And it all started with understanding that the definition of the word, as you already know, chemistry comes from the word chem and the word mystery. And the word chem deals with black, and the word mystery deals with the mist story, mist being water. So what is this story about water that has to do with chemistry or chemet? And it was this understanding of breaking down, because I was always studying theology and sociology and psychology and biology. I was studying all of these ologies, but I needed to go deeper. I needed to go further. And as a group of people, we have to go past these biological systems that we've learned and go deeper into understanding the ancients and what the ancients taught. And when we start doing that, brother, it helps us then to take back our responsibility. And I love that word responsibility, because it means respondability, or the ability to respond. So there is purpose that allows us to override our fleshly pattern that gives us divine or kingly power. And without understanding how do we override this pattern of slavery, this Willie Lynch, Willie Lynch lists everything. Everything in the Willie Lynch letter, I did to a T. I was weak in mind, strong in body. I married outside of my race. Not that that's a bad thing, but I didn't understand, but I had no sense of black culture or black history. Everything that was written in the Willie Lynch letter, I embodied. And when I read the Willie Lynch letter for the first time, brother, I was 30 years old before I even heard of such a thing as black history and black culture. I was so lost that it is a travesty to live in this country for me. And this is my fault, because I had no interest, because I majored in the three L's: fun, fighting, and effing. We'll put it that way, procreating. That's it. That's all I was worried about, brother. And most young men, especially black African-American brothers and sisters, we have to understand the importance of culture and the ancestors and unbreaking this down, not because we are against. Brother, I'm not against anything, but I am for something. I don't want to know what people are against. Tell me what you are for. What are you willing to die for? I'm willing to die for the understanding of truth. And that, brother, embodies exactly what King James said. The thing that changed my life, brother, was unconditional love. When I experienced unconditional love in the form of grace and mercy that was extended to me by people, especially my ex-wife, who was Caucasian. I got five children that I haven't had. Man, I cheated on this woman. I did. I wasn't a physical guy, but I was a mind. I was a psychopath. Man, I put this woman through all kinds of hell, and all she did was love me. That's all she did, brother. To this day, I can call up right now. We was married for 25 years, been divorced for 10. I can call up right now. She's like my best friend. And regardless of what the culture says, I knew that that was something. And what she extended to me was love. That changed me, brother. See, I can deal with hate. I can do hate all day. But the scripture talks about returning good for evil is like reaping coals of fire upon people's heads. That's what when I experienced unconditional love, that is the thing, brother, that breaks the yoke. And until we as a group of people are able to return back to that foundation, I mean, it sounds corny, but from my experience, that changed. My mother died when I was very little, brother. I was a little angry dude. I wanted, my biological father was nowhere in my life. I was angry, and I was fight. All I did was get in fights. And the thing that got rid of that, got me to the point where I was able to deal with the underlying issue, was love. And until we deal with that, brother, it's going to be really tough for us to move forward.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
You
hit a major point. King James, you want to say something there?
No, I was just going to say that my eldest aunt, who took on the 6 children, who were her brothers and sisters, didn't have any children of her own, and eventually I came to know her and have some personal one-on-one time with her. She was uneducated, did not have but a third-grade education, but the unconditional love, that's the key. The brother's absolutely correct, because that's what allowed me to start to put things into proper perspective as I grew from 9, 10, 11 years old on up into my young adulthood. So absolutely, unconditional love is the way. But the problem is we've been bombarded with a lot of this, with a lot of the things that are seen. We focus. See, we don't know how the body and our being works. And once our focus is placed on a thing, then we become responsible for that thing, because now we're creating more energy around that thing which we're focused on. And so those powers that be, whoever they are, whatever they might be, understand how this thing works, how this energy level works. And so they keep certain people who are not strong in mind, strong in constitution, or their souls are destined to repeat. Some of us are not destined to continue to repeat. But for those who are, that's what this whole programming show is all about. And so what the brother is saying about the unconditional love is, once you open up to that and you understand that and you start to bathe in it and really be honest about what that is and start to live it or be conscious with it in your life, the presence of it shows up, and then it starts to radiate, and that, you know, is powerful. That's our power. We don't have any powers in guns or money or education. That's not our power. That's somebody's programmed situation. And it's illusion to begin with. Let's not forget that all of this is an illusion to begin with. So if somebody's focused or making you focus on something, understand it's a trick, period.
Wow. Man, you guys are just awesome. I'm telling you, because, you know, as I'm listening in, as those who are feeding off the energies of us by us, you know, generating the energies of illusions, is just phenomenal. And you and Dr. Rogers are, you know, I listen to both of your experiences, and I see the similarities and the correspondence that exists between the two testimonies that you just gave. Now, but how has, you know, this week, and not just the Black community in terms of, but the world, and more pointedly, to focus upon a certain group, to put this level of oppression on a certain group, to create the energy, to feed off of it, what do we have to say? Now, I've been introduced in the last few days, and I don't know what planet I've been on, but Gabriel Ojibo and his Gagook. And thanks to Matriarch Joan Cartwright, Your Highness, she introduced me to this and a few days ago. And this brother has a book where he's found the mathematical equation for calculations for God. And he's taken it back, as Dr. Rogers mentioned a moment ago, to Kant and to chemistry. And everything comes out of chemistry. I don't care if it's math or science or architecture. Everything comes out of this. It's one principle. But now, how has this particular oppression toward one people not only weakened that people, but served to reinforce the energy of generating around the negativity, so that the people that are oppressing feed off of that and remain in power? And to break that, in my mind, I'm hearing you all say that it takes unconditional love. It takes unconditional love. Now, But how has this weakened not only the people that are being oppressed, but how has it weakened the oppressors, is my question.
That's funny you ask it. Go ahead. Yeah, it's deep. But it's funny also because, honestly and truly, it has strengthened us. I got strength from those opportunities that came into my life that I was exposed to, where I was the only black person in an engineering company, and because of my ability to stand, that gave me power, and they had to respect me because I didn't kowtow, or I didn't laugh when it wasn't funny, or I did. So, in essence, while it looks like it's bad, it looks like it's terrible, it looks like the looks, but inside, in the spiritual ethers, it is being transformed because we are love. We're not anything less. There's no less. There's creation is that which it is creation. Creativity is love. It is no other source. The consciousness that streams through anything that exists is out of love. And the grace that's offered is balanced by the humility. But if we let ego take over, then that's ignorance. And what that ignorance does is gives you a false sense of a reality. So in essence, it's a delusion. Brother, we are doing exactly what we're supposed to do, right where we're supposed to be, in exactly the right time. Man, I'm getting, my eyes is watering because when you ask that question, I kind of chuckle because it looks one way, but in essence, it's something else. And that something else can only be realized by those who are seeking that balance or understanding that love or has had some type of exposure to it.
Wow,
that's going to
let me slow you down.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
That is a hallmark point that you just made. And just parenthetically for 15 seconds, you said that it is experienced by only those that are seeking it. So that is a critical building block.
Or yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For us to seek this, what you're talking about.
You got to want it. You got to want it with all your heart, man. All you got to, man, you have to want this thing like you ain't never wanted something in your life. And you got to want this thing more than you want the baddest woman you ever saw, and she just made your liver quiver. You got to want this thing like, I'm telling you, you got to want it. You can't, it's going to show up, but you got to want it, man. You have to say, listen, I'm here. I want it. I'm open to it. What do I have to do? And when the signs come, you got to move.
Wow. Dr. Rogers, he said you have to want it. And the purpose, it looks like one thing, but it's something else. Now, Dr. Rogers, with your supreme wisdom, how do we make that? How do we flip that switch? Let me use that word again. How do we flip that switch to understand that we're looking at this reality backwards or upside down? We know we see images and they go to our brains and we're actually looking at things upside down. So how do we flip that switch to understand? How do I say to Trayvon Martin's parents or Michael Brown's parents, okay, you got to flip, it looks bad. Now, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says all things work together for good. All things are not good, but all things work together for good. What do we do? What do we do with this pain? How do we translate this pain and this hurt into love? Where is the switch, Dr. Rogers?
Man, brother, that is a powerful question because what happened to me, brother, I got quote-unquote saved, but actually it was a counterfeit conversion because I got saved for fire insurance. They preached the message on hell And I got scared, and I didn't want to go there. So I came up, and I responded to the altar call, which I can't find in Scripture anywhere. And then when I came up and I responded, and I thought all my problems was going to go away, and they didn't. And I kept cheating on my wife. I kept lying. I kept doing everything that I was doing. The anger inside of my soul got worse because I was promised that Jesus, that God was going to take away all my pain, all my anger, all my hurt, because I experienced racism. I don't know about anybody else. I'm from Texas. This good old boy country down here. And I experienced it every day, brother. And the thing, I went to church. I became a licensed and ordained minister. I went into law enforcement. Brother, I did everything that everybody told me to do, and the pain, the anger got worse. My pain and my anger towards the dominant culture, because I went to a job, and somebody else went to the job from the dominant culture, and they got the position, and I didn't. I saw it. I can get pulled over for driving while black at night, and the dominant culture doesn't. So I went into it and tried to hang out with the dominant culture and became a cop and went into all this stuff and still experienced it. So my anger got worse, brother. The thing that changed my mind, you mentioned something, brother, Professor Gabriel, I can't really pronounce his last name, that Nigerian mathematician who got, and he has the God Almighty theory of everything. And what he talks about, brother, is very similar to what I have inside of my book called Christ in You. In this book, and it's interesting that that's why, so you know, that you asked me that question. Because what changed my life, brother, is I had the Bible, I had esoteric knowledge, I had all of this stuff. The thing that changed and took away all the pain and hate and anger toward the white man for me was understanding the history of me. I replaced, when I broke down the fact that there is one molecule, one, I thought there was 114 according to the periodic table. And I found out that that one molecule was hydrogen. And the next on the periodic table is helium. But it's just two hydrogen molecules. And then we go three, that's three hydrogen. Four, six is carbon, it's just six. When I realized that there was only one hydrogen molecule, and I started to understand the fact that I had been duped in school, and I realized that the word universe means one verse, one
yes.
song. And I
yes.
read in Matthew, not Matthew, what is it? I think it's Mark, where it says, the most important commandment is to listen, O Israel, to the Lord your God. The Lord your God is one. And when I realized that, hey, we all the same. So if I hate the white man, I'm hating myself.
Bingo.
When I started to realize that we are all the same, so all this anger. So if I'm cheating on my wife, if I'm abusing my children, I'm cheating on myself, and I'm abusing myself. When I realized that every cell in my body responds to my thinking and the way that I feel, and this mass consciousness is the system wants to get a bunch of us together and create this mass consciousness so that way we can override the individual and force us, quote unquote, to kind of go along with the, you know, with whatever the party or what the system is preaching. When I broke this down, brother, on a biological level, and I went in and I proved to myself, I wrote this book for myself because everything, for whatever reason, I love cellular biology. When I broke down that the four letters of the Hashem matches up with the four letters of my DNA, that matches up with the four letters of the gospel, then I started to realize that, hey, there's something about my DNA. And I broke down that my DNA was held together by phosphate or phosphorus, which is, again, the English word when you break it down for Lucifer or for the word light bearer. And then I realized that hydrogen is the center molecule that holds my DNA together. And then I got any further, and I started breaking down. This brother by the name of Ray Turner has this great book that breaks down the DNA in depth. And in this book, brother, where it talks about Jacob's ladder, I realized in Genesis 28:12, it's just talking about my DNA. And I realized that God eternal within the body is the name Yahweh Vahe. Really, that's five, but, you know, Yahweh Shin Vahe. but the ladder of my DNA and the DNA and the RNA. So I went in and I broke down the nucleotide, and it wraps and it matches up exactly to the temple that it talks about in the Old Testament. But the thing that transformed and took all my hate out, brother, when I looked at the name Hashem, that it talks about in Hebrews 9, and it talks about inside of our blood, there is what is called H-Y-A-L-U-R-O-N-I-C. It's hyaluronic acid. They call it H-A. And this is, you can Google it. It's inside your body. And this takes laminin, which is a molecule or a biopolymer that pulls. It has the ability to take and go into and cross the blood barrier or the membrane inside of the body. And this has the exact same, or it looks exactly like a cross. And it takes this fluid, and this cross or this fluid goes throughout the body. And what it does, brother, now this is biology, but then I realized that it goes deeper than biology by understanding what the good brother, the good mathematician, broke down with his theory, because behind biology, psychology, sociology, theology is alchemistry, or chemistry, which is chem, which means black, and mystery, which means mystery. So I broke down this whole chemistry, which is the study and the understanding of black, and according to dictionary.com or any good dictionary, black is the absence of all color and the inclusion of all color. So I said, hold up, time out. So you mean to tell me black is the absence of all color and the inclusion of all color? Now, again, don't take my word for it. All you listeners, go look at the definition of the word black. Now, remember, go down to the original definition, not this new definition that they got, but go down to the word origin if you go to dictionary.com and look up the original all the way back of that word. It is, brother, if we are hating on another man or woman because of the color of their skin, we missed it. Because when you look at how it works inside of the body, there is a pattern that's called the biological veil. And the name of this is called the Hashem, which again, Hashem in the Greek, or the Hebrew, I'm sorry, means the name, or the name of God. So each letter of this word Hashem represents this long biological term. And I have this inside of my book, Christ, or Christian, Christ in You. And the long story short, brothers, all I'm simply saying is what took away all my hate and all my pain was when I realized that we are all members. The Bible and the scripture talks about this. We're like blood cells inside the body of Christ. So if my liver hates my spleen, both of them knuckleheads is inside the same body. So if my heart starts fighting against, you know, my pancreas, all the organs and the blood inside of my body should be working together. That's when my body, the molecules and the blood vessels in my body don't work together, that's called dis-ease, a disease. That's when I end up dying. That is what's going on in our culture. Every person on this planet is a blood cell, if you will, inside of the body of God. And so we all have an assignment. We all have something that we're supposed to do. My heart cannot do the job of my spleen. My spleen cannot do the job of my liver. My kidneys cannot. My kidneys need to do what they designed to do. So where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. That's why I do Dear Canary Reports, to help young black men, help all people find purpose, because purpose is the only thing that replaces the psychological or the sociological pattern that we were born or we learned. And this pattern, this systematic, it's a pattern. It's a system. It's a way of thinking. This pattern must be replaced with purpose. And this purpose gives us power. Without understanding that, brother, we just keep duplicating the process and passing it on to our children. And we have to start. The thing that changed my life was when I finally understood that there's only one element on the periodic table, hydrogen. Everything else, gold is number 79 on the periodic table. Gold is 79 hydrogen molecules. That's it. So we can break down chemistry, and it's simple, but the stuff that they teach us, brother, that stuff was not taught by the ancients. We got this Greek, and we got this Roman way of thinking as people, especially melanated people. We got to go back and think, and we have to teach our children the way we were taught originally. before Constantine came on the scene and the Council of Nicaea and everything got all mixed up.
Interesting. And the Greeks were taught by who? The Egyptians. And the Egyptians were colonized by the Ethiopians. So when you look at it, it's always going to go back to the origin. It's going to all, everything. Oh, and so for us to know, we must know. We have to open up to knowing, not what somebody say. You know, what you say, brother, is eloquent and is absolutely on point. And I lived that understanding in my spirit as a child coming up. There was just always something in me that told me what I knew. And so things opened up for me to come to this place today. So you definitely right. But again, everybody ain't going to get it. Let's just be honest, family. Let's just be honest. Everybody's not going to get it. But for those who are willing, or those who are probably listening, or for those who just arbitrarily clicked on a station and, whoops, I didn't mean to get this station, but wow, what they taught. And then their spirit drew them here. Those are the ones, man. We got to do it for those who are looking for that spark, who are inspirations as well as being inspired to do this thing, because everybody's not ready. It's just that there's not. But for those who are, I don't know who they are. I'm not here to say who he is or who isn't. But we have to do what we do because of who we are. And those that are needing, wanting, and desirous of it with the passion will find us.
Wow. Wow, man. I'm blown away. Our time is really running running for our broadcast, but I think we'll continue. Just a few moments for those of you who would like to come over to the discussion out of the radio audience. You can dial 712-775-7085. Again, that's 712-775-7085. Access code is 568-788 pound. Again, that number is 712-775-7085. Access code is 568-788 pound. Now, you brothers are answering my question. How has this weakened? Brother corrected me. In love, he said, no, it hasn't weakened us. It has strengthened us because we are better from this oppression, what we've gone through, and what we're dealing with.